All right. So this morning, first off, it's good to be back. I'm thankful to be back with you guys. Missed being here last week. Early in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were reunited with our son. Our son serves in the Marine Corps, and he returned home from his deployment, we were able to be there to greet him when he came home. And I confirmed this in first service, but I wanted to make sure, because I listened to the podcast this week of Pastor Dave's message, and there was a part in the message I wasn't sure, like, did they show that picture last week? And they assured me this morning that they showed this picture last week, because as soon as he talked about me being gone, there was like a whole bunch of applause. And I started getting a little paranoid, like, wow, like, they seem really excited that I'm not there this morning. Do I need to, like, start brushing up my resume or something? What is that about? But they assured me that, you know, they had thrown up the picture and you applauded. So thank you, you know, for that generosity. So, and then a little bit after that, this happened. So my son proposed to his girlfriend, now fiance. Are you here again, Kelsey? She's here again. Oh, yay, congratulations. No idea what she's getting into, but it's all good. It's all good. It's going to be fine. So that happened, like, right after he got home. Totally surprised her. It was awesome. And then right after that, we were at Denny's at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, celebrating his coming home and the engagement. And it was a very, very long night, very, very long few days, but a wonderful few days. Lord willing, he'll be home on Friday this week and be home for a little bit. So Lord willing, he'll be in service next Sunday for Memorial Day weekend. And we're super excited to have him home. And just want to thank you again for your prayers while we were gone. I want to say a special thank you to Pastor Dave for, wasn't that a great message last week? It was fantastic. And so I listened to that message. I listened to it twice because I wanted to get kind of like the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock feel, you know. So I listened to it twice and just wanted to thank him for that. And I wanted to, on Facebook this week, as we were kind of, you know, I was thanking him and people were asking about it, I wanted to remind you about the fact that we have an app that you can download either for your iPhone or your Android phone. And it really is, it's not perfect, and there's a lot of things that I wish it did differently, but there are three things about it that I really, really like. One of them being the messages, the podcast. You can find them, they're on our website, but that's the easiest way to listen to the messages is on the podcast, which it automatically updates, you know, to the apps. You can just put in your headphones, you can download it to your phone to listen to it later. So that's a great feature. The videos that we do, like, you know, for Easter weekend or Be the Church Sunday, those kinds of things, you know, it links to our YouTube, you know, channel, so you can watch, you know, videos that we've shown in church. You can see those again on our phone, on your phone. But the other thing that I really like about it is it gives, there's our Facebook feed. So we do a ton of stuff on Facebook around here. So the Adventure Church Facebook page gets a lot of information, a lot of scriptures, a lot of announcements, a lot of different things. But we recognize that not everybody is either on Facebook or even wants to be on Facebook. So, like, I totally respect that. But if you'd be like, interested in what happens there, you don't have to be on Facebook to see what we put on Facebook. And so the app is a great way for you to stay connected with what we're doing on Facebook, even if you don't have your own account or if you, you know, just don't go to yours very often. It's just a really great resource that you can be checking on. So anyway, so that's free. You can check that out. That's what it looks like. And if you didn't get a chance to hear Pastor Dave's message last week about faith's freedom, highly recommended that you check that out. Okay? All right, so who are my fellow, like, movie buffs in the crowd here today? Who likes, you know, going to the movies or watching movies at home, whatever? Okay, that's kind of who we are. I love the storytelling template that it offers. I love, you know, the character development. I really love the music. I've got a whole collection of music scores at home on CD that I really enjoy. The structure of stories, I enjoy the nuances of filmmaking. We're just movie fans. We're just movie buffs. That's just kind of who we are. True story, we're driving down to Los Angeles, well, driving down to San Diego, driving through Los Angeles last week to get, you know, to go see our son. And we were coming up to Los Angeles, and we were talking to Joshua on the phone. He was in Alaska, so he was in, you know, technically the United States, so his phone was active, and so we were having a conversation on the phone. He was bored, you know, he was in between flights, and, you know, we're just driving, you know, coming out of the grapevine. And we're having this conversation with him on the phone. We've got him on speaker, and he's like, hey, like, where are you guys? And I said, well, right in front of us is that building that they blow up in Independence Day. That's the building. That's the building where we're at. And he said to me, and I had him write it down for me because it was so classic. It was great. You know, you've heard those, you might be a redneck if, you know, the kind of jokes. This is what he said, literally. He goes, "You might be a Manser if you identify landmarks based on where you saw them in movies." So, welcome to the family, dear. Okay. So, too true. So, one of the things that I enjoy about buying movies is deleted scenes. You know, obviously, you'll see the movie, you see it in its full effect, but there are certain scenes that sometimes are they're edited, they're filmed, they're edited, they're scripted, but for whatever reason, they get left on the cutting room floor, they don't make it into the film, but sometimes they're just too good, or they just were, you know, it was making it the movie too long, so they cut them, but they put them on the Blu-ray or the DVD for you to watch later. I really enjoy those scenes. I brought my copy of Star Wars here today, not because I'm going to show anything, so not to disappoint anybody, but it's got all these like different, you know, features in the back, plus deleted scenes, you know. So what could be better than a little bit more Star Wars, right? That's basically what today is about. Today is a deleted message, if you will. We're going to one that we did not go through as we went through a series, but just too good not to go back to and glean from it. And that series was Life According to Jim, okay? So some of you that have been with us for a while, Pastor Greg, really? Like, we took about 8 months, 26 messages on the book of James, and we didn't cover everything? Believe it or not, and only one person to my face, maybe other people caught it, only one person, Jared Nunes, said, "Hey, I think you missed one. I think you missed a verse." And I said, "I know. I'm coming back to it. There's a plan. There's a strategy. There's a strategy involved here." So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to verse number 12. We did not go through verse number 12 when we went through the series originally. So I wanted to go back and pick that up. We didn't go through it not because it's unimportant, not because it's minor. I'd always plan to come back to it, but quite frankly, it's an odd verse, and structurally in the book of James, it's in an odd place. You've got the verses on patience and suffering before it, and you've got the prayer of faith after it, and then you've got kind of just this verse 12 that doesn't really belong with what's before it, doesn't really belong with what's after it, and so we skipped it then. Well, always with the intention of when I had a Sunday to free to do it, to come back and hit verse number 12. So let's take a look at it, James chapter 5. And for what it's worth, my Bible always opens up to the book of James now. Like whenever I open my Bible, it just always opens up to James. We've been here for so long. Verse 12, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." Interesting verse. In the short time we have remaining today, I want to unpack it a little bit. Not really a typical message sermon today, but a couple of points that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement, kind of a challenge to us this morning, some real life stuff that I think will be applicable. So let's go to God and ask Him to bless these remaining moments we have. Father, we just come before your throne, grateful for your word, grateful for every verse of Scripture. And Father, I pray that this would remind us that every verse is important, every verse has a place. And so, Father, I thank you for the privilege we have now to catch up back with this verse, number 12. Be with us this morning. Open our minds, our ears, our hearts, our understanding. And I pray that you would teach us what needs taught today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me mention just a couple of things. So basically, I've got 3 points and 6 words. Okay, so just 6 words for you to remember today. If you want to jot them down, please feel free to do so as we look at this verse, number 12. "Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." Number one, words matter. Words matter. Now, the context of what's happening here, and we'll unpack it a little bit as we go, is because it's not saying you should never swear, you should never, you know, give an oath, you know, like in a court of law, of that nature, okay? There are lots of places in Scripture where oaths are given, where vows are given, where that real intentional commitment is being made before God. The context here is making oaths that weren't serious. They were flippant, okay? They were words that were just being said for the sake of being said, okay? They didn't really matter to the person who was uttering them. He was simply saying them as a means to achieve something via the back door, and we'll get that a little bit more as we go through. Now, those of you that have been with us for a while know that the book of James is full of instruction and teaching as it relates to our tongue, as it relates to our speech, as it relates to how we communicate. You can go all the way back to chapter number 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Verse number 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, you've got the entire text there. It talks about the tongue being a world of iniquity, a fire, and just the great power that our speech, our communication can have in our relationships. And then chapter number 4, verse number 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. You know, so being careful about our speech, being careful about our words. So this fully flows with the rest of what he's teaching. Words matter. The issue here in this context is the words didn't matter. They weren't that important. They were just uttering the words in order to get by with something later on. For instance, in the Mishnah, which would be the Jewish commentary on God's law. So you've got, you know, God's law, you've got the Pentateuch, you've got the Torah, you've got, you know, those instructions early in the Bible. And then you've got the Mishnah, which is kind of a, you know, an examination of that, a commentary on that. One rabbi wrote that if you swore, okay, or gave an oath, if you swore toward Jerusalem, you were bound to keep your oath. Okay, so if you swore toward Jerusalem, that was firm. If you swore by Jerusalem, you didn't have to keep your word. Okay, so what they were doing was they were trying to find a way to twist the language, twist the words, so that they could get their achieved end and not have to follow through with what they were saying. It was basically, you know, I'm going to say this, but my fingers are crossed, okay? I'm not going to follow through. Their words didn't matter. So one of the things that James is teaching us right off the bat here is that words do indeed matter. What we say makes a difference. The words that come out of our mouth make a difference. Now, this was illustrated for us in a very real and profound way this last trip while we were gone. My daughter, is Gracie in here? Okay. My 10-year-old was with us, and she was playing with a tablet, and she was having a lot of fun, and she was playing with this app that allowed you to kind of like have music, and then you could kind of like, you know, dance to it. It has, you know, the front-facing camera, and you could kind of lip sync and do all this kind of, you know, fun stuff, and it was to a Meghan Trainor song. Now, I don't have anything against Meghan Trainor. I don't know. I've never met her. I don't know who she is. I don't have any of her music. So it's not like this is not a slam on Meghan Trainor. We actually have a pretty eclectic range of musical tastes in our family. When the Mansers take a road trip, we always carry with us. Basically, our road trip music is wow hits party remix music. So like Christian music, that's all like kind of techno boppy, you know. But in addition to that, we have Celine Dion, Sarah Evans, and the Backstreet Boys. So how's that for a collection, right? Say, PG, that's not eclectic, that's schizophrenic, you know? And it feels that way sometimes. And maybe a little splash of Clay Aiken. You know, Clay Aiken is in there somewhere, too. That's true, okay? So, you know, I'm not, like, you know, coming down on Meghan Trainor. But let me tell you something, okay? The song that my daughter was lip-syncing to and playing, it was awful. I mean, it was like R NC-17 rated, okay? And she just kind of like, you know, I'm just like, oh, my little girl, you know? And she had no idea, you know? So it was a teachable moment. And parents, I want you to take those teachable moments with your kids. Don't isolate your kids. But when you find yourself with those teachable moments, speak into their life. And so we took a moment and I said, because the response, I was like, what is that? Like, that's not right. That's not cool. And the response was this: it's just what they're saying. It doesn't mean anything. It's just what they're saying. And I said, babe, words matter. Words matter. And then she deleted it. It's too bad too, because it was super cute. Until you start actually listening to the words, it was like, what? I don't think so. Okay? Words matter. What words are you using? Do they lift up and encourage, or do they put down and demean? What you say matters. The words that come out of your mouth make it. We're so quick to dismiss our language. We're so quick to be, I didn't mean that. Or that's just, you know, that was unimportant. Or just, you know, our fingers are crossed. Be careful about that. Words matter. We need to say the right things. Okay, number two. So number one, words matter. Number two, integrity matters. And this is really the heart of it, because what was happening was their yes, he's saying, let your yes be what? And let your no be no. Okay? What they were saying and what they were doing were in conflict with each other. There was no integrity. And integrity is such a crucial thing that we need. Particularly, you know, I mean, it's you know, I've obviously been thinking about this for a few weeks, and really over the last few days, you know, kind of marinating in this scripture and this subject matter. But I just could not help but think, about just the season that we're in politically, right? You know, we're in this election season, and it's all about, you know, everybody is saying whatever they're going to say to get elected, aren't they? I mean, for the most part. I mean, we've got to be careful. We've got to have this filter that helps us understand, okay, what are they saying versus what they have done and what they're going to do. And people, by and large, they're looking for people of integrity. I'm looking for a person of integrity. That's what we need to be looking for. Okay, it's not about, you know, is it a D? Is it an R? Is it what, you know, whatever? You know, who's got the endorsements of who? Who has integrity? Who has integrity? And I just wanted to say as well, we need to continue to pray, church. All right, we need to pray. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for our state. We need to pray for our nation. We need to make we don't, you know, adopt a posture that just kind of, you know, steps back and, you know, it's just, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God's will is going to be done regardless. I get that. But we need to be praying for those people that are in this process, because they're in it. They're in the mix, right? I didn't say this morning. She was in first service. I'm going to say it today. I'm going to say it here in second service. She's not here, I don't think. Liz Cervantes is running for supervisor, and she goes to our church. And this isn't an endorsement of Liz, because churches, we're not going to do that. Okay, that's not what our church is. That's not what our church is about. That's who I'm voting for what that's worth. Okay, but Adventure Church, we need to pray for Liz. We need to pray for her. We need to pray for Jim Gallagher. We need to pray for, you know, those people that are in our lives that are out there that are doing it. Pray for all of them. Pray, you know, whoever your candidate is, pray for them. Because it seems to me, you know, every election cycle, it's like, man, it's never going to get as bad as what it is now. And man, every election cycle comes along and it's like, I didn't think it could get this bad. I didn't think it could get this dirty. I didn't think it could get this, you know, this obnoxious. You know, this is craziness. Church, we need to be praying. We need to be on our knees and praying for our community, for our state, for our country, and we need to be praying for those who are in those positions, that they would be men and women of integrity. Integrity. That's so very valuable. Here's a survey it's a few years old, so I'm sure some of these statistics are skewed on the low end compared to where they would be today. Percentage of people who switch price tags to get a lower price, 12% of people have switched price tags to get a lower price. Cheated on their tax return, 17%. Misstated facts on a resume or job application, 18%. Lied to their spouse about their relationship with another person, 28%. Lied to their spouse about the cost of a recent purchase, 32%. That kind of gets into meddling now, aren't I, you know? PG, come on, you're getting a little too close to home there, okay? Downloaded music from the internet without paying for it, 37%. Been undercharged or received too much change from a cashier and not told him or her, 50%. Only half the people would go back and give the extra. Called in sick to work when not ill, 63%. None of our people have ever done that. Taken office supplies from their office for personal use, 63%. And number 10, lied to friends or family members about their appearance to avoid hurting their feelings, 71%. Integrity matters. James' point is that instead of oaths, check this, instead of oaths and vows being a mark of one's integrity, they had become a mark of deceit. Instead of prompting confidence, they were prompting skepticism. And so these people, with all their oaths and vows, were quickly becoming nothing more than a society of liars. Swearing evasively became justification for lying. Lying under oath became a fine art. It was, how can I twist these words? How can I use these words to achieve my wanted or desired end? That was the issue then, and that continues to be an issue for us today. Why do people feel the need to be dishonest? Why do people feel the need to lie? Let me give you a couple things to think about, okay? And maybe you can identify with one or more of these. And you'll notice they all begin with self, and that's usually where the problems lie. Self-protection. First of all, people lie because they're afraid. We're motivated by fear, and we want to protect ourselves. We're afraid that we're going to get in trouble, or that we'll be rejected, or that we'll be in the middle of a confrontation, or we will hurt someone's feelings, or we'll lose our job. We lie because we're afraid. One study asked the question, if you were caught in a lie, would you lie again to get yourself out of it? The vast majority of the people said what? Yes. If I'm caught in a lie, I'm going to keep lying. I'm going to keep trying to get myself out of it. Self-protection. I want to protect what I have. Number two, self-centeredness. People lie because they benefit from their lies. They lie because they are selfish or self-centered. It enables me to paint the image that I want others to have. We might get recognition or a promotion or a job or a date or a credit card or sympathy. How many people, and this goes into that area of, you know, lied on their income tax or called in sick or lying for their employer as long as it benefits them. So a self-centeredness takes us down that path toward dishonesty and mistrust and a lack of integrity. And then the last one, self-importance. People lie simply because of their pride. We're just a prideful people. Somehow the lies of this kind feed our self-importance. Either we lie to save face, to cover our mistakes, to be liked, to appear more important or more successful than we really are. We have all kinds of reasons to lie. The unredeemed believe that a lie works to personal advantage. We lie because of fear or selfishness or pride. But the truth is, when it comes right down to it, we lie because it is the easiest thing to do. Satan always tempts us with the easy way out. That's an important lesson. When we're confronted with a decision, when we're confronted with a choice, when we're confronted with a circumstance, the devil will always, this is the easy path. Just say this, just do this, just uncomplicate the situation, and it just makes it worse. Eventually, our lives will catch up with us and our integrity will suffer. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite writers, said this. I love this quote. A little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everyone knows. Okay? So very true. Okay? Self-importance, an unhealthy view of self will bring about all sorts of problems related to our integrity. What are other issues related to integrity? Exaggeration. We exaggerate in order to impress others. Expert on everything. We express opinions about things we do not fully know, but we want to appear to be more knowledgeable. Here's a big one in the church. Prayer requests. We promise to pray because people like it when we tell them that we will pray for them. We don't really intend to pray for them, but we're going to tell them we're going to pray for them because we want them to feel better about the fact that we just told them we would pray for them. I just like shook my head if you're listening on the podcast. Okay? Wonder what that was, okay? Now that I've listened to a few, I'm like, I got to start explaining that. Commitments. We promise to do something but then fail to do it. Timeliness. We are late for appointments after making a commitment to be at a certain place. James says integrity matters. Following through matters. Not just speaking the words, not just saying. The words are important. The words matter. The words make a difference. They have an impact. But our yes needs to be, and our no needs to be, no. We need to be people of integrity, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when that path is the resisted path. That's what he's dealing with here in verse number 12. Words matter, integrity matters. Thirdly and lastly, relationships matter. Relationships matter. He says there, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. We saw time and time again the great concern that he had for these believers, the great concern that he had for this church, the great concern that he had for their relationships with him and their relationships with each other. Above all, don't be this way, because if you are careless with your words and you are careless with your integrity, your relationships will suffer. You will fall under a condemnation. And he's warning them, above all, don't do this. Don't go down that path. Your words matter. Your integrity matters because relationships matter. Come on, Pastor, if I told my boss the truth, he would blow his stack. If I told my husband how I really feel about his constant traveling, he would get defensive and withdraw even more. If I told my parents how frustrated I am in school, they would be too disappointed to understand. If I told my wife how frustrated I am with our romantic life, she would accuse me of having a one-track mind. If I told my teacher the real reason I didn't finish my paper on time, she would dock my grade. And on and on and on. It eventually comes to a point of collision. When we are careless with our words and we are careless with our integrity, it will come to a point of conflict in our relationships. And our relationships matter. That's why God sent his son. God is a God of relationship. He sent his son to this world to live the life that he lived, to teach what he taught, to perform the miracles that he taught, to die upon the cross of Calvary, to redeem us from our sins, to redeem us from our selfishness, to redeem us from our agenda and our priorities, so that we might become partakers of the kingdom of God in relationship with each other. Relationship matters. It matters. And we play fast and loose with those relationships when we are not careful with our words and we are not careful with our integrity. In his book, The Different Drum, Scott Peck presents a theory about relationships. He says, God designed us to yearn for open, honest, authentic relationships. He calls them communal relationships. But because we choose peace-faking, he uses that term instead of peacemaking, he says peace-faking over truth-telling, we end up in pseudo-communal relationships instead. The result is that marriages, family relationships, and friendships are strictly surface level. No one ever says anything unsafe. They never discuss misunderstandings or reveal their hurt feelings or air their frustrations or ask those difficult questions. The underlying commitment is don't rock the boat, don't disturb the peace. But it's a counterfeit peace. It's a counterfeit peace because the misunderstandings arise and they're never resolved. The feelings beg to be shared, but they're not. The offenses occur, but nobody talks about them. In such times, those relationships are destined to deteriorate. And I think every person in this room can identify with that at some level. We've all been at a point where a relationship began to deteriorate, and we can track it back to a lack of integrity. We can track it back to a carelessness with language and speech and communication. Friends, these are all connected. Our words matter. Our integrity matters, ultimately because relationships matter. Above all, my brothers, he said. In closing, let me just illustrate it this way, because what tends to happen in a conversation like this, in a talk like this, is for the most part, I would say 100%, we're not a bunch of, you know, lying, murdering thieves, okay? That would be my assumption, okay? But we can compartmentalize, and we can be like mostly people of integrity, but still kind of play around with something on the side that would, you know, maybe damage us somewhere down the road. And it's perfectly illustrated by this story, true story, of a guy that went to a chicken place in Long Beach. I'm assuming it's KFC, but I don't really know. Okay, it's just a fried chicken place. He goes to the fried chicken place. He orders up his meal. His date is in the car. He gets the bag. He goes to the car. They go home. They open up their bag, and instead of being a whole bunch of chicken in the bag, there's a whole bunch of cash in the bag. Whole bunch of cash in the bag. Okay, and he does the right thing. Like, oh my goodness, like this is wrong. I got to go back to the chicken place and, you know, let them know they gave me the wrong bag. You know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So he drives back to the chicken place, and he gets back to the chicken place, and they're going crazy. Like chickens with their head? No. They're going nuts. They're going nuts there because they're like, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose my job. The cashier, you know, is sweating bullets. They don't know what happened. They don't realize what happened. So he comes in with the bag of cash. He's like, hey, I just want to let you guys know. And they're like, oh, my goodness, thank you so very much. I mean, I can't believe, what a man of integrity. I've never encountered someone so honest. The manager says, I got to call the newspaper. Like, this is a story. This is a story that should be shared. This is a story that should be shouted. People need to know that there are still individuals like this in our community, in our world. And the guy was like, please don't do that. Please don't call the paper. He's like, why? Like, this is a great story. People need to know about it. Because the woman in my car is not my wife. It's a woman I'm having an affair with. And I don't want the papers to, like, dig into my life and my story and figure out. So check this out. He goes from, like, the hero of the story to the jerk, right? Like, what in the world? And my sense would be that that's where we live. Like, yeah, I want to be a person of integrity. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. But man, there are some parts of my life I just don't, I'm just not ready to deal with. I don't want them exposed. I want to hang on to them. I want to play around with them. I want them to be where they are. I don't want it to affect the other parts of my life. Your words matter. Your integrity matters because relationships matter. What you say matters, so say the right things. Start saying the right things. Start speaking in a way that blesses and encourages and uplifts those people around you. Compliment your wife. Compliment your husband. Talk up your children. Don't talk back to your parents. Say the right things because words matter. What you do matters more. Be truthful and follow through. Pastor Greg, it's so hard. It's so hard to come to the reality of what I'm struggling with, what I'm facing. The devil wants you to take the easy path. Be a man of integrity. Be a woman of integrity. Be truthful and follow through. What you say matters. Say the right things. What you do matters more. Be truthful and follow through. What you say and do is most important because it demonstrates the care we have for one another. Relationships matter. Every day, just about every day, I missed a couple days this week when I was gone, but pretty much every day I post on the church's Facebook page the Air One verse of the day. And so this morning, you know, I get it in my email, and then I search for the graphic, and I put the graphic up on our Facebook page. And here's the Air One verse of the day today. Saw this morning. I mean, how crazy is God? So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Ephesians 4:25. Coincidence? You make the call. I don't think so. Okay? That's our message today. Words matter. Integrity matters. Relationships matter. We are all part of this body. And in your marriages, in your families, in your working relationships, be careful with your words. Be careful with your integrity, because it will have an effect somewhere down the road. Thankfully, we serve a God who is loving and forgiving and gracious. And if you're here today and you have struggled in any one of those areas, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, right? Every morning. So as we pray and as we close, I want us to just claim that promise that his mercies are new and forgiveness is available as we call upon him. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, just thank you for these moments we've had together this morning. Father, every single person in this room struggles with this to one extent or another. For some, maybe it's a 95, maybe some it's a 5, but we all struggle because this speech, this mouth, this tongue just gets us into trouble. Father, I pray that we'd be mindful that our words matter. And Father, if that is the struggle for someone today, if it's profanity, if it's being overly sarcastic, if it's cutting and biting, Father, I pray that today you would both convict them and encourage them that tomorrow can be different. Lord, if it's about integrity, and there are people and they struggle with honesty, they struggle with being real, they struggle with the truth, for whatever reason, all those reasons related to self, Father, I pray that they would call out to you right now and ask for your forgiveness, and Father, that you would cleanse them and that you would use them, and they would be reminded that that does not have to characterize the remainder of their days on this planet, but they can live in truth. They can represent incarnationally your working in our lives because you are truth. And Father, for those relationships, and Lord, for the relationships that have been devastated because of a carelessness with words and a carelessness with integrity, Father, I pray for restoration. I pray for strength and for grace and for new beginnings. Lord, that you would watch over each marriage in this church, each family in this church, that you would guard the hearts and the minds and the mouths of your children, that we might honor and serve you well in this place you've called us to be. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your forgiveness. And Father, as challenging as this message can be, I pray that we would be reminded of the blessing and beauty of the gospel, which makes all things new. Give that to us today, Father. That would be our prayer. That would be our desire. We would long for heaven to touch our lives today in such a way as it would make a difference as we walk out of this room this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you all so much for being here today. I appreciate it.